welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. And if we're lucky, let us glimpse into their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and I just can't say it any other way. Happy Thanksgiving. We're releasing this podcast the week of Thanksgiving. I've been trying to figure out how to say it best, since some of you will hear it around Thanksgiving and some of you will hear it like months after. But anyway, you know, happy Thanksgiving, y'all. This week, we're going to hear from Alex Trimble of Two Door Cinema Club and Adrian Lenker and Buck Meek of Big Thief. All three of them describing these instances where they heard music that like shifted their perspective and led them to have, I mean, let's call them what they are, epiphanies. Epiphanies about what music could do and what they wanted to do with music. Before we get into the episode, I want to let you know that you'll be hearing lots of music in this episode, though never full songs. But if you hear a song and it piques your interest and you'd like to hear like the whole song, then head on over to the page for this episode at kutx.org. We'll have a Spotify playlist there with all the songs that we reference on this show, or at least all of the ones that are on Spotify, so that you can hear all the songs all the way through. Okay, so let's get started with Alex Trimble of Two Door Cinema Club. He is the lead singer and songwriter of the band, and they just released their newest record, Game Show, in October. And the record? It's a bit of a departure from their earlier work. It's less about guitars and more about like amazing synth sounds. And Alex Trimble explores the upper reaches of his vocal range, like a la Prince. And they really do what you want a band to do on their third record. They take chances and it pays off. It really works. Right before they released the record, they came and played the Austin City Limits Music Festival. And while they were here, Alex sat down for a chat with our own Taylor Wallace. And he told her about a record that showed him, or like reminded him, that he was free to write the kind of songs and make the kind of record that he wanted to. So here he is, Alex Trimble.
You know what? The last kind of transformative musical experience I had was about 2-3 years ago. I picked up Beck's Midnight Vultures. Beck is one of those guys, he's always been around, like, since I was a kid even, you know, mid-90s, and so I've been aware of him, but I never, like, got Beck.
You never dug in,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, I think I heard a song on, like, a TV commercial or something, and
yeah.
I was like, what is that? And it was Beck, and I got the record, Midnight Vultures. I think it was Sex Laws. It just blew my mind.
Like, yeah, that's my favorite Beck record, actually.
Yeah. The fact that it just kind of solidified this dream that I had in my head about music, that there really are no rules in terms of where you can go, what you can do, you know? Like songs like, you know, Deborah. It's like this skinny, nerdy white dude trying to be Prince, and he's pulling it off.
I met you. Your name tag, I said Jenny.
It's just amazing. Like, as an artist, you can kind of get put in a box by other people, or you can
sure.
put yourself in your own box, and you become comfortable with what you're doing, and you stick with that, and you kind of, a lot of artists will end up repeating themselves, because it's almost scary to go somewhere else sometimes.
Yes.
And then this record just, I just forgot all of that instantly, and I was like, I can go anywhere I want. I can do anything I want, you know?
I think her name's Deborah. I wanna give
and he's like the paragon artist of that too. I mean, like everything he's done
yeah, from record to record.
It's just totally different, and he does it so successfully. Midnight Vultures is so different from Sea Change, is so different from Mellow Gold, is so different from the songbook that he put out and had other artists play the song and make the record for him.
Yeah, for me it came at the perfect time. So we finished touring at the end of 2013, and we hadn't played. I kind of just wanted a break from everything, you know. We've been so immersed in the life of the band, the playing the music, the making music, everything, and I needed to get away from it because it was kind of crushing my spirit a little bit.
Right.
Because I do this because I love it, but too much of a good thing is it's gonna break you, you know. So after a while, I knew that I wanted to get back in, but I needed a way back in, and I had kind of like lost confidence in myself because I hadn't written songs in so long, and I needed a direction or some kind of guidance and some way to help me get back to writing music again, because I didn't know what direction I was going to go in. And like I said before, this record was just told me you can go in what any direction you want, you know. And so from then I just started writing anything and everything. I didn't it didn't have to be this one thing, you know, because we never stick to exactly what we do as a band. Like there's not like a set formula in terms of like this guy plays that instrument, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I collect instruments as well. I collect guitars and I collect synthesizers and I had all this stuff, and I always mess around in it, but it was almost like I would never dream of bringing some of that weird stuff into what we do as a band.
Sure.
Because it's like, it doesn't belong there. I love the Mini Moog. Like, that's one of, like, the like, it's like the classic sound from so many records, from hip hop to funk to pop. And when we were making the record, some of the other stuff that I was getting into was really synth heavy. Kind of when synthesizers became the whole band on records, kind of early to mid 80s, even late 70s, you know, stuff like McCartney 2 when he was doing like Temporary Secretary. And all of that crazy stuff. And I was listening to a load of early Madonna.
A lot of Madonna, okay.
Yeah, like Madonna and Like a Virgin, those records. Like the Nile Rodgers produced record, I can't remember which one of those it is, but it's just phenomenal, like the sounds on there. A lot of Prince. It's just crazy, and so my favorite kind of synthesizers are from that era.
Okay.
And I collect those, and drum machines and all that kind of stuff. So there's definitely a lot of that sound.
Okay.
On the new record. You know, we've always kind of deviated in places on the record, but they tend to kind of hold together. There's always some kind of, and I think there is some kind of cohesiveness on this record. Like the songs do kind of feel part of a whole, but we kind of just pushed everything a little bit further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it works, and then you can push it a little farther next time, a little further.
Yeah,
and further.
Yeah, exactly. Like the more you do it, the further you can go. That's the thing.
So have you gotten more into any other Beck albums or his other like flavors, we'll call them?
Yeah, I mean, I love Mellow Gold. In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins and mouth to cut the chuggy with the plastic eyeballs. Spray paint the vegetables, dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose. I love Morning Phase. Woke up this morning, found a night in the storm. I really like the acoustic stuff that he does, because when you've got an artist that can go so far out there, it's amazing to know that they can come straight back to almost bare bones and just break it down, and he can be just as good on an acoustic guitar singing along with it as he can when he's throwing samples and beats and all of this crazy production at things. He can do it both ways, and you know, that's the hallmark of a great artist, a great songwriter.
Well, and it's interesting because he's able to take the samples and turn it into something that's like dirty and weird, like something on Mellow Gold, or something that's like trapped out, like, wow.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Awesome. So what do you, can you, do you foresee how all of this is coalesced and like what the next step is, or are you just trying to ride out where you're at right now?
Well, for us?
Yeah. Or for you personally, or?
Yeah, I mean, I just like, I haven't stopped really, you know, we finished the record. And before when we finish a record or we finish recording, I just kind of stop. I'm out of that mode and I'm back into whatever we're doing, promoting the record or touring. But this time I just haven't stopped making music, and I'm, it's kind of just set me on this roll, and I'm just like trying new stuff all the time. And, we're gonna keep get together soon and try and write together as a band. Like, even though we're not aiming towards a certain purpose, you know,
right?
Like because that's what kind of made us lose our love for it a little bit before, because it became more like a job, and it's like, right, you're doing this now, and then it's time for touring, and it's time for making a record, and you compartmentalize everything. But if you're gonna come up with the best stuff, if you're gonna have that that creativity all the time, you need the freedom to be able to do that, you
sure.
know, rather
yeah.
than just waiting and then you've got a 2-month period to go and make a record. That's just, it doesn't work. It's not conducive to like your best work. It just isn't.
Bad Decisions from the new Two Door Cinema Club record Game Show, and man, I like hear it. I hear it on this record, the influence of not only Beck, but of like Madonna and Nile Rodgers. And how great is it that Beck inspired Alex to stretch himself artistically, to try new things, and that inspiration has had like this lasting effect. He's still writing, even after the record was done. I mean, I guess it's like Beck really just has fun with music. And Alex was able to see that and tap into it and tap into his own sense of fun and joy when it came to music. And that's just beautiful. If you liked hearing Alex Trimble describe how inspired he was by the music of Beck, then please take a minute and head over to iTunes or Stitcher or the podcast app or wherever you get your podcast and become a This Song subscriber. That way you'll get new episodes delivered right to you as soon as they come out. And while you're there, we'd love it. I mean, we would really love it if you'd leave a rating or a review. All right, now on to Adrian Lenker and Buck Meek of the band Big Thief. They hail from Brooklyn, though they do have a connection to Austin, Texas. I mean, they played the opening of Radio Coffee and Beer here in town. And Buck is from Wimberley, which is practically Austin. If you're not from Austin, you may not know that, like, people being from Austin, it's a big deal for us. Anyway, they have a new record out called Masterpiece, and we've been playing their song, Paul, here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast. And, like, every time I hear that song, my heart breaks a little and my eyes fill with tears. It just gets me, you know? They came through town to play Utopia Fest, and while they were here, they stopped by Studio NA, our live performance space here at the station, to perform. And afterwards, Adrian and Buck told me about songs that, like, tweaked their perspectives on music and helped them see that they could approach it a little differently. So here they are, Adrian Lenker and Buck Meek.
Well, this song called The Lean Over by a band called Life Without Buildings.
If I lose you, if I lose you, if I lose you, if I lose you, the huh.
When I first heard that song, I freaked out and felt all this euphoria, like I was on drugs or something. It was just like, I got a high from listening to the song. I mean, I gotta hear this story about the first time that you heard it, that it sounds like, I mean, I know the reaction, but like, were you guys in the van? How did you come across this song?
Actually, conveniently, we were recording Masterpiece. We were right in the midst of it. And we often will just put on music in between recording takes or like listening to stuff just to kind of cleanse our palate. And James put on this song and we just had a ball. It was it's really, really unique. I've never heard anything like it. The band is so solid and really together, and they're just playing this stuff that's cruising along, and it's got a really 90s sound, like a 90s.
So it's guitar driven?
Yeah, it's guitars and bass and drums, and she's just improvising over the whole thing. She's a spoken word artist and a poet, and she's just like, she just has the coolest voice, and she's got, there's something about it that's really, really free and like really present, like she's reacting to this, whatever's going on. Days like television, days like television, do 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 do, days like television, face of you, the face of you, in the time takes life. It just builds on itself, and then the more you listen to it too, like the first thing that came across to me was just how fun it was, but then over time I started finding depth in the lyrics, and having some of the lines stuck in my head, and thinking of just discovering the meaning a little bit more. There's this point in the song where she starts talking about contact, and it just, and then she's like riffing on that. Like the first, she says, the first, the last, the only contact. Boom, contact, contact, that's the way, first, your last, your only contact. Contact, the first, the last, the only, bounce, twirl, and I'm trade. But it's just some really stream of consciousness, but she's masterful at it because she's taking the stream of consciousness and like all this stuff, and she's just, it's not ever too much, and there's still clarity in it. There's a lot of clarity and intention in it, even though she's improvising, which I just think is so cool.
Do you think when you heard Life Without Buildings, was it just that you had a good time, or was there something that kind of changed or tweaked inside of you? Like, you were in the process of making this record. Do you think that, you know, going back into the studio after hearing that, or just like performing live, do you think anything changed?
Yeah, it popped a bubble. It popped a bubble. It was deep sense of fun, because I think fun is a really deep thing, to really be having fun, and like that's that's, if you're not having any fun, you got to do a little check-in sometimes, especially if you're playing music. I had so much fun listening to it, and then I thought, wow, I can just be free. I can just, it doesn't always need to be, you know, every line is perfectly sculpted and there are no extra words. That, I guess I've been a little afraid to jump out of that box, and hearing that made me feel like, actually, sometimes it doesn't matter what you're saying. If you're pushing out that energy, it feels like she's really pushing. She's popping the bubble of this film that just, you could just be coated with just being alive and collecting layers as you're getting older and forgetting about who you are. And it's really nice because I feel like she's just pushing right through it. 12 o'clock, he's a shaky baby, he's a shaky baby. Shake you, baby. reminded me to do that, so I was definitely meditating on that while I was singing for this record, Masterpiece. When I was singing Vegas for our record, I had way more. I had that song going in my head. Not that song specifically, but it was like transformed into how would it be if that's how the rhythms on Vegas were, or like if that's what the energy that I was bringing. And I want to just repeat words, but it was this restraint that I was using in order to just sing those lyrics and just sing the song. But all of that energy was packed in there. They were all having to come out of
just a couple words.
Okay.
Like all of the energy of all those words, but you're like, I'm, they're super focused, hyper focused into these few words.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yes.
Think about a point in which my perspective on music changed drastically, at least in the last few years in my most recent knowledge. It has to do with the realization of using like oblique strategies to paint a bigger picture, specifically with lyrics, I suppose, which then maybe translates into my instrumental playing as a guitar player, but it's like more literal and easy to understand lyrically. And I think a big part of that realization for me was first hearing Michael Hurley. My friend Jolie Holland showed me a Michael Hurley record. And I don't remember what was the first. I think the first thing I heard of his was Oh My Stars. Like in that song, the last verse is, "See that spider going up the wall? He's going up there to get his ashes hauled.
See that spider going up the wall? He's going up there to get his ashes hauled. He's taking that trip along the mighty top. He learning them ladies, the old spider out."
And then the chorus is, "Oh my stars, how you undo me.
Undo."
Which literally are like very separate things, a spider on the wall and then this like cosmic idea.
Yeah.
And his songs are so rich with those juxtapositions that in my experience, they intensify each other, you know? Like the juxtaposition between this cosmic idea and the chorus and these like very earthly scenes, very like specific earthly scenes, they intensify each other and give depth, you
yeah.
know?
I mean,
just as our experience is constantly between those two polarities.
Did it then like affect the way that you wrote?
Yes, I at that point immediately fell in love with it and started integrating it into my writing. I found it to be really liberating, actually.
Yeah.
I found it to be like realizing that you can say something completely off subject from like what your main subject is. You can say something that intensifies the meaning of your main subject, but you're not limited to like the content of your main subject. So your palette is so much bigger.
I don't want the blues always on my shoulders. Get me a cold beer as I get older.
And you said that it you understood this lyrically, but then you also said that it affected your guitar playing or mm-hmm. how you approach your instrument or
I think so.
How did that
It's harder for me to describe how that works, but for instance, we have this song Shark Smile that isn't available yet on any recordings, but it's coming on our next record. And the song is about these two lovers in their car, and by the end of the song, there's a car crash. And when I was trying to come up with the guitar part, I decided through like deliberately meditating on this idea of like trying to come up with something that's a little off the center of, like instead of playing the song the whole time and trying to come up with like a riffy part for the whole tune,
instead, I just came up with this one part that sounds like really Mexican at the very end and like really distant, as if like the car crashed and like the Mexican radio that was coming in like on the AM kind of low and the, you know, and fuzzy was just like still playing with the car like flipped upside down. It's not always that literal either. I think it probably also just like integrates into your subconscious to think obliquely, which I think is really healthy. You know?
Yeah, I think anything that gets you kind of like stepping away or behind or to the side and coming at it from a different way, just kind of, it's just a benefit to everyone.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
And it helps you fall back on your instincts instead of your, you know.
So it kind of like you can kind of talk yourself out of the ego thing and then go into like a more primal part of your brain.
I think so.
Oh, the last time I saw Paul, I was horrible and almost let him in. But I stopped and caught the wall and my mouth got dry, so all I did was take him for a spin. Yeah, we hopped inside my car and I drove in circles round.
This is Paul by Big Thief. Like I said, everything about this song, her voice, his guitar playing, the subtle way the rhythm section interacts, it all just gets me. Kind of in the same way that Life Without Buildings song exhilarated Adrian, like, although that made her really happy and this makes me really sad, but you know, it's like the same thing. It just captures the emotion. And Buck's guitar solo on this song, like, for real, go listen to it. It's actually a great example of what he talks about when he talks about approaching music from an obtuse angle. I mean, it's not so much a guitar solo as it is like a plea, a wail, a sigh mixed with a cry. I'm telling you, it is something different. And, you know, listening to all three artists talk, I'm just reminded that, like, yes, music, it can be anything. You can do anything. And I don't know, I was trying to find a Thanksgiving angle, and maybe that is my Thanksgiving angle. I am thankful to these artists for sharing these stories because it reminds me that music is a place you can go to create whatever it is you need to create. I don't care if that sounds cheesy. That's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. The interview with Alex Trimble was recorded by Jack Anderson, and the interview with Adrian Linker and Buck Meek was recorded by Cliff Hargrove. Taylor Wallace, you heard her in that interview with Alex Trimble. She's also on the air every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. and she curates our Instagram account. She does a great job. Our handle is @ThisSongKTX. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb for everything they do for this podcast. And yes, it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own excellent Hard Proof. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @ThisSongKTX. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.